We are live in Council Bluffs, Iowa, for a Joe Biden event this afternoon. A lot of people in this room for podcast 899. Just a little while to go before Monday night, caucus night, here in Iowa in 2020. Well, this has been an eventful afternoon, a beautifully relaxed afternoon, until we got to the Biden event, and then couldn't get in the lot, so there was a lot across the street where a bunch of reporters had parked, and I pulled up into the lot, and of course, it is mud and snow, so Mobile Podcast Command is mired. And I had to call a tow truck, and that's arriving here in about 2 hours after we get over this event, being held in a beautiful wedding facility in Council Bluffs, Iowa. It's called the Green Lantern or something like that. But yeah, here in the media lot, we've got all the C-SPAN trucks lined up, and there was room over here. If I had just stopped and asked the guy, he probably would have let me in. So then I get out, and I go, what's Joe Biden going to do about this? And the guy goes, well, we can talk about it. So that is what is going on. So I'm going to check in here at the media desk.
It's time to check into the media desk.
All right.
Right here.
I'm right here. Yeah.
I'm a non-Iowa.
Sorry?
I'm a non-Iowa.
It's still.
Is that your media?
This is just for guests. She's all press regardless
of
where.
Okay, thanks.
It's interesting because you can tell the front runners because the local polls show up and the big time, I mean, we're talking state representatives and so forth, and the and there's a lot more media. I'll take some pictures. A lot more. One of the words you're going to hear a lot these days at these political rallies is revolution. But there's a revolution going on in this country, has been for quite some time, in payment processing. And one of the companies at the forefront of the payment processing revolution, going back 20 years, is Relia Fund. So here's what they do. Relia Fund integrates their systems with your systems, and they do it so well that it's seamless. And that may seem like something that, well, what's the big deal? It's really complex, and not every payment processor can do it the way Relia Fund does it. So if you're a developer and you're working on back office systems, if you are working for a client and you're developing e-commerce, you want to talk about Relia Fund. If you're in business, you want to talk about Relia Fund, and you want to talk to Relia Fund when it comes to your payment processor. There's no long-term contracts. They're secure and technology-focused. I've been working with them for like 2 years. They're great. 866-243-5040. 866-243-5040. If you call them, you'll talk to a human being, Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, or you can check them out online at reliafund.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to their contact page. That is the way I found Relia Fund. You can tell them about what your deal is, and they'll get right on it. And I'll tell you more about Relia Fund and the payment processing revolution as we get forward into the future. Once again, check them out online at reliafund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, reliafund.com. Now, I know, because I know these events and I know politics today, and foreign trade is really at the top of the list. You're going to hear talk about foreign trade, trade protection, and things of that nature. What they don't tell you at these events is that there have been problems developing, in particular with China and foreign manufacturing, for a while. First of all, they're being undercut by Mexico and Vietnam and some of the other countries in the region in Asia. But there's also continuing problems with intellectual property theft in China. So companies are starting to look around, and they're starting to look at the United States for manufacturing. If this is you, then you want to look at DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com. That's D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, right in Minnesota, in Ramsey, Minnesota, DepoStar.com.
I just wanted to say I'm so thankful for everyone who came out tonight. My name is Owen Townsend. I'm your local organizer here in Council Bluffs. It's been an opportunity of a lifetime to be up here working for Joe Biden. My first political memory growing up actually was going to the voting booth with my father, to watch him vote for the Obama Biden ballot in LA.
I need everyone in this crowd to look around for one of my coworkers with a clipboard and sign up for some shifts to help us knock on doors and make phone calls and help us out on caucus night as a precinct member. And since we're so close to winning Iowa, that's why I need you. And in order to do that, we have to nominate the right candidate, and that is Joe Biden. So thank you guys so much for coming out, and thank you guys.
Please welcome firefighter and candidate for state senate, Steve Gorman.
Really honored when they asked me to introduce our guest tonight. Joe Biden, and this is why I am caucusing for Joe Biden, and I'll stand with Joe Biden no matter what. Joe Biden made it possible that I didn't have to worry about my family if I was met the ultimate price in my job. He saw to it that families and those that lost their lives in the line of work, that their families were taken care of. My second family is my firefighters, brothers and sisters. You see them behind here? These guys have my back at all times. I don't know if you really understand that on a lot of days, we're called into some very, very bad situations. Your worst days, and we see them regularly. He's making sure that the injuries that I sustained as a firefighter, which I have been injured several times, and I was taken care of, and my family was taken care of. Joe Biden has a, firefighters are people. We love people. We do things for people that you wouldn't imagine. I am so proud to stand with this man. When he takes care of us, he's taking care of you. So welcome me tonight. And I'm so proud to introduce to you tonight Kristi Vilsack and Joe Biden, our next president of the United States. Thank you.
Now, see that man with the Syracuse jersey on? My deceased wife was from Syracuse, lived in the Finger Lakes. I went to school up in Syracuse. Now, I'm always asked by everybody here in Iowa, God, are you used to the cold yet? You ain't seen nothing till you've been in Syracuse. Syracuse gets more snow than any major city in the United States of America. 196 inches of snow. And it's cold. The prettiest days is not colder when the snow is coming down, right? I tell you what, man, and I went to Syracuse to prepare me for being able to campaign in Iowa. And let me thank the soon to senator to be. You know, I've heard, these guys have heard me say this. This is the head of the International Firefighters Association, a good friend of mine, and been great help to me my whole career. We've been friends. You know, there's an expression, God made man and then he made a few firefighters. And they're all crazy, unfortunately, because who in God's name would run into a fire and not run away from it? But they're amazing. I've always had the support of firefighters back in my home state. There's three political parties, Democrats, Republicans, and firefighters. I have the firefighters. They saved the lives of both my sons. When I got elected to the United States Senate in 1972 as a 29-year-old kid, I wasn't old enough to be sworn in. And I was down in Washington on December 18th. Hey, God love you, how you doing? On December 18th, I got a phone call from a first responder. The poor woman was scared to death. She said, you got to come home. And I said, what's the matter? There was an accident. And she blurted out, your wife and daughter are dead and your two sons may not make it. Tractor trailer broadside. But these guys, my firefighters at home, spent 3 hours with the jaws of life getting my sons out and saving their lives. I had a cranial aneurysm, and I had to get down to a hospital to a neurosurgeon for what turned out to be a 13-hour operation in a snowstorm. My firefighters got me down in the middle of that snowstorm in time to save my life. I was down in Washington doing Meet the Press on a Sunday. It was a beautiful summer day. Lightning struck my home, and it began to burn down. It was so thick, the smoke, you could not see an inch inside the window. It was black smoke. Every single piece of furniture from the basement to the third floor was gone, and they saved my wife's life. And as my wife says, importantly, she saved her cat. I owe them. They always have your back. You are the community, and I want to thank you for all you do. Thank you. I appreciate you being here as well. And you know, this November we need to kick Donald Trump out of the White House. Democracy begins in Iowa, to the great chagrin of many people around the country, because they think you have disproportionate influence. But I tell them, for real, you all take it really seriously. You take it seriously, and this is the most consequential caucus you've ever participated in, no matter how many times you participated. Not because Joe Biden's running or any other one candidate on the Democratic side is running, but because of the man who's in the White House. We can handle, God willing, 4 years of Donald Trump, and we can hopefully go down in history as an aberration in history. But 8 years will fundamentally change the nature of who this country is, in my view. And nobody understands it better than you all do. The Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America. There's a report that's been released, and no one's denied it, that he went over the Pentagon on a meet with the flag officers and generals. And to their faces, he referred to them as losers, dopes, and babies. I honest to God can't think of any time in the past any president's ever looked at our warriors and said things like that to them, and allegedly to their faces. I don't know, my mother would say, I don't know who died and left him boss. I don't know but think about it. Think about when I talk about character. Ladies and gentlemen, and then we learned that they learned that 34 of our warriors who were stationed in Iraq, where my son spent a year before he passed away. My son and all of those warriors that were there, 34 of them, were there stationed in Iraq during the missile attack by the Iranians not long ago. And 34 have been diagnosed with traumatic brain injury. And what did President Trump say when they said about that? He said, nobody really got hurt, wasn't very serious, just headaches. It's the fact is that the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign War, which has not been particularly political about him, came out and said they called on him to apologize. My guess is he probably hasn't. Our troops deserve a commander-in-chief who understands that we owe them 1% of our population defends 99% of us. The next president is going to inherit a country that is divided, as well as an international community that's in disarray. There's going to be little time for on-the-job training. Not much time at all for on-the-job training. We need a president who on day one can command the world stage, because he or she knows those world leaders. He or she is known by them. Someone who can lead our armed forces and repair our relationships with our allies that have been so badly damaged by his embrace of thugs and dictators around the world, and once more make the United States the leader of the free world. Folks, we need a president who knows, as your future senator said earlier, knows that this country, this is my phrase, wasn't built by Wall Street and CEOs, but built by ordinary middle-class Americans, given half a chance. They're the ones in rural America, in the cities. They're the ones that built this country. Given half a chance, they have never, ever, 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 ever let their country down. And the problem now, the only thing standing in our way of rebuilding this country that we have to rebuild is our broken political system. our politics has become so mean, so petty, so vicious, that we need a president who can bring the country together, unite the country, unite our country flat out. Folks, look, we're a democracy. Democracies depend on consensus. You have to reach consensus. There's no way to be able to govern, to progress, if we can't reach consensus. So we have to be able to pull the country together. Democrats, Republicans, independents. And several of my colleagues in the race on the Democratic side think I'm naive, believing we can unify the country. Yeah, but that was the old days. You know, it was 3 years ago. But they now say that I don't understand the new Republican Party. Let's be clear about it. I understand it better than anybody. I've been the object of their affection for a long time. I've been really the object of their affection. I tell you what, man, it's just been amazing how much they love me. When have you ever had a sitting president of the United States spend over $12 to $15 million running negative ads that were flat out lies about a person who wasn't even the nominee yet? I wonder what he's afraid of. This is a president who went out there and colluded with a foreign power to try to smear me. No one under oath or any other way has ever suggested I did anything other than my job as Vice President of the United States, and did it as his leading members of his administration under oath said, with complete integrity and honesty, carrying out the policy of not only the United States, but of all our allies and all of Europe, to force better consensus and reduce corruption in Ukraine. They've slandered me, and they've slandered my only surviving son. By the way, did anyone see what Joni Ernst said the other day? Whoa, Joni. She spilled the beans. The whole impeachment trial for Trump was just about a political hit job to spare me from the standpoint of some of Joni and her friends. It's how scared Trump is to run against me. But look, here's what she said. Iowa caucuses are next Monday. I'm really interested to see how this discussion, meaning discussion about me on the floor of the Senate with Republican prosecutors or Republican defense attorneys for the president, how this discussion today, 2 days ago, this discussion today informs and influences Iowa caucus voters. Will they be supporting Vice President Biden at this point? Yo! This is like some out of Alice in Wonderland. And then there's this new, wonderful new senator from Florida named Rick Scott, one of the richest people in America. He started running ads here in Iowa against me. Well, God love him, as my mother would say. He's so interested. He's interested in, from a senator from Florida, as to whether or not I should win an Iowa caucus. Isn't that fascinating? I guess if I had that much money, I'd spend it on anything I could. I don't know, but pretty amazing. The only thing it seems to me is, think about it. From the senator from Florida, sitting in Washington, has decided to start running negative ads just a couple days before the Iowa caucus. Now, what do you think about that? It seems pretty simple to me. They're trying to smear me to stop me. They know if I'm the nominee, I am going to beat Donald Trump. Come out of here as the winner, you'll ruin Donald Trump's night. And two, you'll ruin Joni Ernst's night as well. This fight is not about me or my family. It's about you. It's about your kids. It's about your grandkids. It's about the country. And I think it's really critically important everybody understands that a president not only has to know how to fight, the next president is going to have to heal. Going to have to know how to heal the country. And that's so much bigger. Character is on the ballot. America's character. I do not believe that we're the dark, angry nation we see in Donald Trump's tweets at 3 in the morning. He's even got me going tweeting 12. Tweety bird. Anyway. Think about it. That's not who we are. I don't believe we're a nation that puts kids in cages and thinks it's okay. I don't believe we're a nation that whips up hysteria, says we're going to build a wall, and in fact says immigrants are about to invade and take us over, rapists from Mexico. That's not who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe we're a nation that embraces white supremacists, which this guy's been doing. That's not who we are either. And I don't believe we're a nation that bows down to Vladimir Putin, because I guarantee you, I will not. And I don't believe the American people think that the free press is the enemy of the people. We sound like some kind of, I won't even say it. Seriously, think about it. Think about how we talk. What president have you ever heard speak like this before? I don't believe we're a nation that believes the U.S. Constitution should be laughed at, mocked, or ignored. I look at Donald Trump and what he stands for, how he behaves, and what he does, and my response is always the same. We are so much better than this. We are so much better. Democrats, Republicans, we're so much better than this. And climate change policy that will save our children, grandchildren, and this planet as the most urgent need we have. Remember what you saw when all those folks came out of that field in Virginia, in Charlottesville, carrying those torches? Close your eyes and remember what that looked like. Just close your eyes and what you saw on television. Coming out of fields with torches, carrying torches, and the hundreds walking through the streets, their veins bulging, spewing hate, reciting the same anti-Semitic bile that was chanted in the streets of Europe and Germany in the 30s, carrying swastikas, accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan, and a young woman was killed. And what did he, they asked the president, press asked the president, what do you think, Mr. President? Remember what he said? He said, there are very fine people on both sides. No president in American history has ever said anything like that. It rips at the fabric of who we are as a country. We choose hope over fear. Yes. We choose science over fiction. We choose unity over division, as we always have. And we choose truth over lies. So folks, remember, I really mean this, remember, we're walking around with our heads down like, woe is us. This is the United States of America. There's never, never, never been a single thing. This is literal. Never been a single thing we've set our mind to. We've not been able to do when we've done it together. Right. So it's time to get up. Let's get up and take this country back and be the nation we can be and should be. Thank you.
If elected president, what initiatives would you implement in the first 90 days, and how would you implement them?
The first things I would do in the first 90 days is I would immediately send an immigration bill to the United States Senate and House that, in fact, provided a pathway to citizenship. And secondly, I would immediately rejoin something I helped put together, the Paris Climate Accord. And I would invite the close to 200 nations that are members of that accord to the United States, like we did with the Nuclear Proliferation Initiative, and have them sit down and agree that we're going to have to up the ante, because now what's happened, when we walked out, everything collapsed. Last question.
Yes, sir.
I like your lid.
I do, too. Tax breaks, tax wars, China tax. It has destroyed our economy. I just got word that Minnesota had a record-breaking numbers of losses of dairy farmers in their history. Our farmers in Iowa have lost almost everything. Small business has lost everything. And the consumers have lost everything. What can you do to change that?
Immediately negate his trade policies. You all think Iowa's the only state that's agricultural. But the Delmarva Peninsula, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, that peninsula that goes down the Delaware River, the Chesapeake Bay, down to the Potomac, is a $4 billion industry in agriculture, and it's mostly broiler chickens, and soybeans. And so I understand the impact on agriculture with his policies. What the president has done by his phase one of the new trade policy with China is just taking farmers back to where they were the day we left office, after having cost us, the farmers and the taxpayers, over $24 billion. Because we had to make up with the losses of the farmers. I don't begrudge that because of this terrible policy. We spent so much more money on bailing out the farmers because of this god-awful policy and not leaving them whole at the end of the day anyway than we did to bail out General Motors in the automobile industry. And look what he's done with ethanol. We spent $100 million in our administration making sure that gas pumps could be transferred to be able to carry ethanol, gasoline with ethanol, okay? To reduce the amount of pollution. $100 million. And what does he do? He made a deal with Exxon to break the deal. Look how many of your of the plants have been shut down. And these aren't people making $15 an hour. This is farmers being able to sell a significant amount of their corn for this ethanol, reducing environmental damage. But also, in addition to that, it's the factories that produce this, if you've been to them, the ethanol, they're making $45-$50 an hour. It's raised the economy of Iowa initially. People beginning to make in rural areas a good, decent salary. We should be investing more money in American farmers. And let's just talk about Iowa, right here in Iowa. If you go on joebiden.com and look at my agricultural/environmental plan, we should be paying farmers, number one, to put more land in conservation. We should be paying them on a regular basis for doing this, how they can make money. In addition to the product they're taking to market to sell, we should be paying farmers to transfer a lot of their land that they have into carbon absorption. What are we doing? We're giving a $1.9 trillion tax cut, and then 90% of it going to the top 2% that don't need it. I don't want to punish anybody. They don't need it. They're going to do just fine. They have four homes they can keep all four without it, you know? I'm not, but I'm deadly earnest. So look, folks. And the last point I'll make, I wasn't going to get into this, but I will just for a second now. You talk about taxes, okay? I talk about building on the Obamacare, which I helped pass with the president, adding the public option. I make one change to pay for it all. And I'll get Republicans to vote for this one. And that is that we tax your capital gains at the income you're taxed at. We can provide for, without punishing anybody, just a rational tax policy based on the ridiculous changes this president made in the tax policy. We can pay for everything from education straight through to dealing with global warming and just about everything. We have the most powerful military in the world, but it's been the power of our example that's allowed us to lead the world. In addition to that, we are in a position that everybody in the world is looking and hoping and praying to God we come back. Because I said, the world's not self-organizing. And if we don't organize it, the bad guys will. Thank you all very much. Now, Kristen Griffin.
Yeah.
Yes, I do hate my printer. I talk about it all the time. And why? It's not the printer. I love the printer, as a matter of fact. It's a boat anchor. I mean, I bring it with me, and it's in this big box in Mobile Podcast Man out there stuck in the snow. But it's the print cartridges that are so expensive. And so finding cartridge rolled in Maple Grove was a godsend. 30% you will save compared to the big box stores on print cartridges. They're guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. They can get you a printer if you qualify. Cartridge World, now across Minneapolis and St. Paul Metro from Maple Grove. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Ask for my friend Jason. They will hook you up. Or you can click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now, I got a lot of people to thank, but I don't have too much time. Appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Ben Harris gets a special mention at Sharp Creative. Send me a message if you want to know more about Ben Harris, and I will explain it all to you. Thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, subscribing on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Of course, we're all over the place. Stitcher.com, Spotify, Lisbon, Blog Talk Radio, and more. PodMN. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations again at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the PayPal donations window right under the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, since I'm getting towed out. And that's going to cost me like $150. I could really use the donations. But those of you who have donated even like $10, it's really, really valuable. Thank you, Wayne Nelson, and many, many more. Mandy Benz and others. Thanks again. And thanks for listening to Podcast 899. And now it's on to Points Unknown. Am I going back to Iowa City, Des Moines? Where am I going next? So that's Joe Biden, former vice president. And we'll see how he does Monday, because that is caucus day, passing Joe's blue bus. And of course, my bus is stuck over here in the snow, and so I'm gonna have to call a tow truck, which I'm gonna do. Hopefully they can get me out. So I see the guy in front of me is pulling out, so hopefully the other guy in front of him will pull out so I can get my truck out. And that is it. That is all. It was such a great afternoon coming over here. Everything very relaxed. Maybe the snow has hardened up a little bit and I can get this thing out of here, but I doubt it. But we can get it started. That we can do.